Hey, everybody, my name's Nick. I'm an alcoholic. I don't know what to do with it. It's good to be back. I feel a little more comfortable this time around. That first night, I was a little nervous, and I had this ear infection going on, and it was like talking into a tunnel. It's like the worst feeling in the world when you try to speak and you hear yourself echoing. So last week, we talked about steps 1, 2, and 3, and I shared my experience, and there was a lot of great shares from the room. Talking about that powerlessness, you know, that I don't have the power within me to stop, and I need a power greater than myself. I'm without power. We talked about unmanageability, when life is unmanageable. You know, the second step came to believe that I could be restored to sanity. And step 3, make the decision, and I share with you guys my experience with that, with praying with my sponsor up at Graymore, doing that third step prayer, and the overwhelming feeling that came over me, that this power greater than myself was about to take hold, and it was starting to grab me, and I was starting to feel comfort and ease that I never felt before. So tonight we're going to venture into step 4. You know, it's funny when you read this third step prayer in the big book, it gets down to the bottom of the page. It says, we launched on a course of vigorous action. I didn't launch. I wanted to launch, but I didn't launch. I got to be honest, the program of rigorous honesty. I was excited. My sponsor laid it out to me. He showed me the columns, like we all know, you know, the 4 columns, you know, my resentments, whom I'm resentful at, and stuff like that. And I started to, he laid it all out to me. He says, now you go home and, you know, you begin this work. And I was making meetings and I balked. You know, like it talks about in the big book, I wanted the easiest, softer way because I felt really good after the third step, you know. I felt like, you know, I was almost like I'm cured now at this point, you know. I have God. What else is there? Life is good. You know, but if you remember when I shared last week, life really wasn't good. I was struggling with my relationship with this woman that was about to have my child, and I didn't know where that was going and what was happening. So life wasn't that good. And I'm still going to my meetings. I'm still doing my service. But I balked on that fourth step. And I remember telling my sponsor, I'm really struggling with this. And I don't know if it was because I'm not the brightest guy in the world. I figured I went to college, I have an associate's degree, I'm no genius. But I was struggling with it. I didn't understand, really, what am I supposed to be putting down on this paper? Really not resentful of anybody. I kind of pushed that under the rug. That's stuff in the past, you know. What am I doing here? Why do I need to really do this work? But the one thing he reminded me, he said, in the beginning, I did ask you if you're willing to go to any lengths. You know, and he used to say things like, well, how well do you want to be? How free do you want to be? Okay. So let's get down to business. What's funny, though, God has a funny way of speaking to me. I'm just going to share my experience in Alcoholics Anonymous. Because when I'm balking on the fourth step, what step meetings do I hit day after day after day? The fourth step meetings, right? And they're just talking about this fourth step. And I'm like, oh. So I get busy, but I struggle with it. And like my sponsor pointed out to me, when we struggle with these steps, that we bring it to God, and we ask God for the willingness to go on. And I do. And I start to make a list of all those people I'm resentful at, just like it says in the book. And I love those first 2 columns, right? Those first 2 columns, you know, I'm resentful at so-and-so, and this is why. And just don't want to live. I live my whole life in those 2 columns. You know, this depression, this is why I don't like them. And I relive that resentment over and over again, and it makes me sick and sicker and sicker. You know, reading through the big book, it tells me clear as day that these things block me from the sunlight of the spirit, and they make me sick, and they make me ill. And if I don't clean this house, if I don't clean this up, I may not recover from this drinking. I may go back to drinking again. And that scared the hell out of me. So I begin to do this work, and my sponsor broke it down. You know, there's 3 sections in the fourth step. You know, the resentments, the fears, and the harms, sex harms. And I begin this work. And I have periods where I'm struggling. And things he pointed out to me were like, you know what, do 10 minutes. Don't try to sit down and do the whole thing in one shot. It was very emotional, too, as I was going through it, because I started to see that pattern, you know. He explained to me also, you know, don't go across, go down each column and all of that. So that's what I did. In the meantime, life was getting busy. You know, I'm like I said before, I'm struggling with this relationship with this woman. We're not together at the time, yet she's pregnant with my son. And I'm struggling in that area, and I'm using that as an excuse to put off doing this kind of work. You know, I'm busy, work is busy, I'm getting overtime now, and all this crazy stuff. But the problem is I'm not getting better. you know, and I need to work on this, and I need to do it right away. And I'm starting to feel the repercussions from not doing the work, not doing that fourth step. So I begin to write. And one thing that was a very important exercise that my sponsor had pointed out to me is before you begin writing, pray. Ask God to help you. That third step prayer, back to that again. I'm in prayer from 3 to 7, steps 3 to 7. I'm in constant prayer. And I'm asking God in the morning for direction. I'm doing all that. And I'm asking Him, help me put this down on paper. Let me see my truth, God. Because without this, I don't know if I'm going to make it. And that's my truth. And the pen just starts to go nuts. Just goes nuts. And I'm like, whoa, where is this coming from? You know, it's like, it was insane. But the feeling, I can't say I was like elated. I mean, who really wants to do a fourth step to begin with? Let alone be, you know, can't wait to get this down on paper. But you know what? There was a part of me that was so willing to get better, that was willing to do anything to get better, and know that I needed to do this to get better, plain and simple. And I started to do the writing, asking God for help constantly throughout it. And when I was done for that moment, whether it was my resentments or my fears or my harms, I asked God to leave it there. Leave it there, please. Because I didn't want to take all that information from the past and for some of them from the present. I didn't want to bring them into my daily life and torture people with them, because that's what I did with resentments all my life. If I was resentful at someone, they weren't the only ones that got it. It was the guy in the drugstore. It was the guy in the grocery store. They got it all. It's amazing, looking back at my drinking, how many lives that I've affected, and I don't see that really until I look at this fourth step, how many lives that I affected indirectly from my alcoholism and from my behaviors. I'm not even talking about alcoholism, I'm talking about behaviors. Because even when I wasn't drinking, in those times of my drinking career, when I didn't have a drink in me, I was an animal. I wasn't the nicest person to be around, and I affected a lot of people. I said things that weren't necessarily appropriate, and what tends to happen is, I don't know if anybody can identify, but I'll give my mother as an example. I'm resentful at her. We get into this disagreement. We get into this argument. She doesn't know where I am the night before, or my wife, or maybe it is. Now they have to go to work, and they're upset. They go to work, and some woman at work, they take it out on them. And that woman has a miserable day, and so on and so on and so forth. Maybe she takes it home to her family. So many people are affected from my alcoholism and from this disease. But I don't see that. But I start to write this fourth step, and I start to get this all down on paper. And then there's that fourth column. I love when I do big book meetings, because people will say to me, like, I don't see the fourth column. I don't see it. I said, wait, it's coming. I'm just going to turn the page. And oh, there it is. You know? And it's so funny. Where am I to blame? Where am I to blame? And to be totally honest with you guys, and I told this to my sponsor, because he'd be like, if he called me up, you know, half measure availed us nothing, he'd hang up the phone. You know, one of those guys. So I used to say, oh, you know. But I told him, I says, listen, I can't finish my fourth step. I got a problem. He said, what's the problem? I said, the fourth column. I can't see where I'm to blame. You know, I just don't see it. He's like, leave a blank. We need to get through this work. We need to get done with this work. Hey, a lot of stories, you know, you got to have it on this thing and do it on that. And I took a black and white notebook that was 99 cents from a Walmart, Kmart, whatever it is. And that 99 cent notebook changed my life with a pen. And it was unbelievable. I went to a lot of places. I was dating this girl at the time, and I was still an alcoholic, and she was like, I was in the, you know, the grips of the disease. And I remember she would say to me, she would take me to like these gurus, you know, the Zen thing and all these things. And they're all great stuff. But I was an alcoholic. My problem, I needed the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. But I'm trying all these different things, and it's amazing. And I'm spending a lot of money on these things. And the truth was, it was this 99 cent notebook and a pen that changed my life. And I sat and I did this writing, and I left that part out blank, where am I to blame? Because we were going to get to that. He said, leave it out and we'll look at it when we do our fifth step. I started to see a pattern. I mean, I'd have to be blind not to see it. One part of the, you know, with the selfishness, self-centeredness, and my character defects, you know, I have expectations of people. You know, I place things on people that I shouldn't. you know, they should be a certain way, running the show, third step stuff. It just goes on and on and on. I got a list. I got some list. So I get this all down on paper, and like my sponsor pointed out to me, you know, we're going to go through it in the fifth step. I get all my fears down. I don't think I'm a fearful person. At the time, I thought I was this tough guy, so how could I be fearful? I'm not afraid of nothing. I'm not afraid of this. I'm not afraid of that. Well, God showed me otherwise. Because like I said, I brought this into prayer and meditation. I got this black and white notebook in front of me, and I'm about to do my fear inventory. And here's the pen sitting there, and again, asking God to show me. And he did. the pen came off the paper, and I started writing. And amazing things started to come out on that paper. And I really started to look at my fears and my fear inventory, and looking at my harms. And I love that, you know, it asked me to remove my fear and direct my attention to what you would have me be. I love that fear prayer. And I started doing this. I do my harms inventory. I had to look at my harms. You know, where have I hurt these people in my life? And what came up a lot, what God showed me, which was amazing, and with help from my sponsor, is that harms to people weren't what I always thought, wasn't the blatant, outright ones that we see every day. It wasn't that I smacked that person in the face or I cursed at that person. I didn't show up for things I was supposed to show up for. Special events that my family was having, I didn't show up for. People were looking for me at times, and I didn't think that was a harm. You know, how is that not a harm? You know, I hurt people. I really hurt people. Silent scorn is probably one of the worst ones I've committed. And who would think, right? You don't say nothing. How is that a harm, you know? But I did. And I started to look at all of these things. But now here's the kicker. I look at all these things. Now what do I do with this paperwork I got in front of me? And I got loads of it, you know. My sponsor's big on, you know, taking it right out of the big book. Don't alter it. Don't make up stuff. Just, this is what it says. This is what we do. Boom, boom, boom. So I finally get it done. And I call him up. And it is that part in the fourth step. I think it's actually in the fifth step where it talks about be prepared for a long talk. We're getting ready for a long talk. All right. But one of the parts of going back to the fourth step that I want to talk about, it says a fact-finding and a fact-facing proposition. You know, for the first time in my life, I was actually seeing the truth about myself. It also says that we have to be hard on ourselves. I was like, wasn't I hard on myself enough for the life I've been going through? I had to be hard on myself. And I had to be willing to put down on paper everything. You know, everything. When I work with somebody today, I laugh because they'll get all like, I don't want to tell you all my deep, dark secrets. I tell you, I don't care. I really don't. I really don't care about you. This is not what we're looking to get at. You know, your deep, dark secrets, you know, you're giving them to God. I'm just a witness in that fifth step. But the truth was is that it's your character defects. How could we change? How could I change? You know, what am I going to do with them? I don't just go look them. Am I going to just look at them on paper? Or am I going to actually take some sort of action towards opposite of what they are? Am I going to try to get better? That's what's going to get me better. So anyway, I do this, and I want to watch the clock, and I get into the fifth step, my sponsor. He says, let's do it up at Graymore, beautiful place. I said, fine, get in my truck. Here goes the truck again, and here we go. We go up to Graymore. We get to the top of the mountain. It's beautiful up there, just like God is everywhere, you know. And he takes me up to Franciscan Chapel again. We kneel down, and we do the third step prayer again. Plays a little trick on me. If anybody knows anything about Graymore or up in Garrison, they have a death mask of St. Francis, and it's up on this altar. And he plays this little trick on me, and I'm like oblivious at the time. He says, they have the death mask of Jesus up on the altar. I'm like, no. And I go there, and I'm kneeling down, and just tears are coming down. And it was like a month or two later, I read the sign. It says St. Francis. I'm like, that's St. Francis. But whatever, he's like, oh, I didn't know. Yeah, right. You know, and then we get back in the truck, and we start to read. And we start to, you know, I start to read my fourth step. And we get to the certain parts where I said to him, I don't know where I'm to blame. And he was able to point those things out to me. And he used words like, is it possible? He didn't tell me, no, you did this and you did that. Is it possible you may have, you know, harm the person this way? Is it possible this is where you're to blame? You know, I'm not going to get into my fourth step stuff or the details, but the truth was is that my character defects were there. I started to see behaviors way I was acting in certain situations that were inappropriate. When they say, you know, you change in Alcoholics Anonymous, that's where I changed. Like I said before, I was a year and a half in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I wasn't changing. I just wasn't drinking. I wasn't going to get better until I did change, until I cleaned house thoroughly. And that's what I did. And we sat up on this top of this mountain for like 7 hours, this poor guy. In my truck, it started to snow. We had a couple of bathroom breaks in between. But this loving man sat with me up on that mountain and listened to everything and shared with me some of his stuff. Because, like, I guess, I don't know, this is just my experience, but I felt like I was unique. And when he started sharing some of his stuff with me, I realized, oh, I'm in the right place. You know, we really had a lot of identification with the feelings and the defects of character and going through my fears and through my harms and getting that all down on paper, you know, and really looking at it and inviting God in. And that was one thing I remember he said to me. He says, now we're going to invite God in. And this warmth came over me, this feeling of like safety. I felt like I was really at one time in my life actually doing something for my sobriety than just sitting in those chairs in those basements, listening and leaving and feeling uncomfortable, feeling restless, irritable, and discontent after a meeting. I'm not supposed to feel that way, right? I'm feeling that way back then before I got into this work. And I started to take it. And when we got to the bottom of the mountain, what I was going to say is I started to take these things that now I see, these character defects, and I started to try to be the opposite of what they were, opposite of selfishness, self-centeredness, self-seeking, dishonest, you know, all of those things. And I started to bring them home into my home life, and I started to try to apply them in there where I was saying, no, no, I got that, where I used to say, somebody else will get that. You know, I'll take out the garbage or I'll do this. And it was little things like that. And just they kept multiplying. And my family started to see change in me. Again, I'm still going through the nightmare of the baby and waiting to see what's going to happen with that. But I'm starting to practicing these principles and the change is starting to show. Somebody said to me one time, did you get a haircut? I was like, I have no hair. What are you? It was something different about you, and I was like, I don't know. I don't know what it is, and I think we all know what it is. Anybody that's been through this work knows when someone goes through the work, there's something special. There's something you could see. It's almost like a glow around them. It's like something has happened to them. And what was happening to me was I was having a spiritual experience, okay, a spiritual awakening, if you'd call it. I also had a spiritual experience, but maybe we'll get into that next week. But the spiritual awakening I was having, and I got down to the bottom of that mountain, and we were about to drive home, and my body felt like I was 3 pounds. The weight of the world, it felt like it was lifted over me. I went through a lot of parts of my life, that things that I've been living with my whole entire life that were making me sick day in and day out, and I couldn't see it. A lot of things I couldn't see, but I was about, basically I saw my truth. I saw who I really was for the first time in my life, and that was due to God. That was God and that man that sat next to me and the two of us, two alcoholics sitting together, and it's what Alcoholics Anonymous is about, you know, or women, sorry. And it was a beautiful experience. So, again, he reads me the directions. We're not done yet. He said, okay, you know, I feel so good now. This is scary. Can I just soak this in for a few days? Or he's like, no, you know, you got to go home. Be alone for that hour. See, they give us some. They give us a break in the steps. 1 hour. they give us that break. So I went home. I followed the instructions. You know, taking the book off the shelf. I have a third edition big book that he took me through because. Do I have time? It's a pretty funny story. I was running back when I was drinking and drugging and doing all these things, and I was running. I was dating this girl, and she was running with me, so I don't understand where this came from, but regardless, we know how the insanity goes with that stuff. She comes over my apartment one day with a big book of Alcoholics Anonymous without the cover. She throws it on the table and a DVD, Clean and Sober, by that guy, that movie, Clean and Sober, with that Michael Keaton. Thank you. And she throws it on the table, and she's like, you need to read this and watch this.
That easy.
And you know, as alcoholics, let me show you. And I start cutting up lines on the book, and there's slash marks on the book. And I showed her, right? Needless to say, I never threw that book out. I wanted to launch it out the window, because we don't want to be told that we got a problem. You know? So I wanted to launch this book out the window. Instead, I put it up on a shelf. Who knew what was going to save my life? Who knew it was going to save my life? And when I took that book down off the shelf, that's the book I went through with my sponsor. I still have that book today. And with all the little highlights in there and everything. And because I didn't know why I was highlighting at the time. He said, because you're going to need to show others. You know. And I go home and I do step six. And I was talking to my girlfriend that I dragged to these meetings. That she, you know, I'm glad you're here, Donna. I was talking to her in the car. I said, step six. That's going to be it was an hour. No, it wasn't even an hour. That's not even step six. It's the willingness. I didn't struggle in that area when it came to that willingness. I just had the experience. I guess that's why Bill and Bob or, you know, Bill didn't make us wait too long. See, I don't think you should wait too long. And I didn't wait too long because I'm still on this experience from the fifth step. I wait for that hour. I take the book off the shelf. I look at the first five proposals, making sure I didn't skimp on anything. I didn't miss anything. You know, I look at all of these things. I needed to do that right away. I couldn't wait for that, you know. And then, am I willing to have God remove all of these things? You know, it's very hard to talk about six without seven. But I was willing at that point because I wanted to get better. I wanted to have what countless others have had in these rooms, that the ones that are smiling, the ones that are helping others because they have something to offer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the miracle started to happen in my life. You know, I got up, when I got on my knees and finally asked, I know I'm going to touch on seven, but when I finally asked God to remove these things, the willingness, like I said, again, was there because of the experience I just had. But I truly believe that when I got on my knees to ask God to remove these things, they were removed instantly. I believe he took them away from me. Now, yes, did my character defects crop up? Absolutely. But at that moment, going through the steps for the first time, the experience, the closeness that I got to God started to increase tenfold. Each step that I'm taking in these 12 steps, my relationship with God, my reliance upon God, it's just multiplying. If my sponsor doesn't answer the phone, I am not going to drink. I'm not going to drink. If I didn't make that meeting last night, I'm not going to drink. I make meetings, yes. You know, one of the greatest loves of my life is my son today that I have in my life. I have full custody of my son because of this program. I got him since he was an infant when he was born. You know, and hugging him and the love that I can give him is the love that I believe God has for me. And I don't believe that I'm supposed to be out there dying from this disease. I really truly believe that the experience that I've had drinking and drugging is supposed to be used to help others to recover. And the process that I went through to get where I am today is to help others. And that's what I try to do today through this process. I'm sure I'm missing a ton of things because, you know, especially this meeting, I think about when I come here, you know, I'm thinking, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to tell them that. And I just say, you know, let God be the final judge, jury, and you know, let him speak through me. And that's what I ask every time before I speak. But I hope maybe that, I know we got somebody, you know, new here tonight. I hope other people that are new here, if you're new here, I'm going to probably say this after every time I speak because that's the way I was brought up in AA. It's not about me anymore. It's about the newcomer and what I can do to help anyone who's struggling from this disease. That maybe you heard something tonight that would say to yourself, you know what, let me do this thing. I want to get better. I don't want to struggle through life no more. Life is a struggle without, you know, us making it worse. I can make it worse even when it's not. And at least I have a design for living today that shows me how to live my life in a way that I don't have to struggle no more. I don't have to live that way no more. I don't have to have the insanity in my life no more. I'm able to handle situations that used to baffle me just like it does in the promises. So, I guess that's enough out of me. Thanks for listening.